You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 537. My name is John Morgan, and leading NBA beat reporter Cole Coffey is with me. That is right. One of the top National Basketball Association experts in the game today, Stephen A.
Dribble.
Step aside. Dribble.
Yeah, that's who I got to beat, Stephen. I can be angry and yell at random people. I do that all the time.
And play. Oh, you, yeah, actually, you could fit into that pretty that
right?
well. You do have some.
Let's go, Stephen A. Let's go.
Do you play solitaire on your phone?
Is that what is the?
You didn't see? Oh, you didn't see that?
No.
It became a big thing. I thought it was pretty interesting because it was like during the NBA finals, and a fan like took a picture of him like playing solitaire, and like they just jumped all over him, and it was weird.
If people saw that, I played my games at
100%.
100%. Like, who doesn't? Like, just randomly at times, you're just sitting there and you just pull up a phone.
100%. Like, even in the hardest core days of me being like junkie doing play by play cage side.
Yeah.
I'd still like, maybe I'm answering an email, maybe I'm booking a flight, maybe I'm seeing if I can upgrade my hotel.
Dana
maybe
does that right next to thing at Contender Series when they're vying for his attention. Dana be like, oh, what boxing match is on? Oh, let me watch this.
Yeah, 100%. So you do other things, like you can multitask.
Yeah.
And I think that's really just like the human brain at this point.
Yeah.
Like we're all so like dopamined up on social media.
Solitaire's not even like the it's not even like it's like a cool graphic game. Like he's like, oh, I gotta catch up on this. He's like, bro, where can I place this card? Does it go here? When can I move this pile?
Yeah, can we get something a little more fast paced? Yeah, it was interesting because he literally just signed like a big like $100 million contract, and obviously he's like this, you know, huge media figure, and somebody photographed him became like a controversy because like, hey, you're the leading expert on this game talking about why these players aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing and how this coach isn't doing what he's supposed to be doing.
and you're not even watching.
You're playing solitaire. Yeah, exactly. So it was a big deal. But it was funny because it did kind of make me think of like if you're in the game – I shouldn't say the game, the in media or not. Like you get it. Like you are doing other things while you're there. You're not – it is interesting though. Like an NBA game is like way shorter. Like a UFC event's like 6 or 7 hours.
Oh,
like there's no way.
Time.
There's no way you're keeping your focus solely on this fight and only this fight for 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah.
But the NBA finals, now you're talking about like 2.5 hours.
And if you're there as a commentary role where you're supposed to be, you know, talking about things and like, and you're gonna have to be speaking on camera, I would probably try to
put it aside
a little bit better.
That's interesting. So you know what's funny is as a commentator, when I'm doing commentary, like for CFSC, of course, now, but for anybody really, I don't really do other things during that because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I will usually keep my phone on my desk just in case. Like, for obviously now it's CFSC only, but like if Rob needs to text me something or like, you know what I mean? Like they want you to mention,
they want you to mention something
or they want you to, I heard this, say this, or you did this. Like I do keep my phone on my desk for that. But
do they ever talk
that,
back in your ear and do you prefer one or the other?
It's interesting. We do, our truck talks to us. We don't have communications directly to like Rob and Brad, like
but
our
the truck
execs,
will
but
tell
the truck
you
will. Yeah. It doesn't bother me. I honestly just kind of would rather, unless they need something, I'd rather than just kind of lay out.
Well, which they should, because I mean, it's got to be jarring when you're in a chain of thought. I'm sure they'll be good about it and they try to find a logical break of conversation. They're not going to interrupt you whatever to say, you know, maybe, hey, we got a replay or we got this, 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 you know, or something like that, as opposed to when you're in a chain of thought and you're talking, they're like, oh, by the way, John, we got this package thing, do a reminder to come up. Yeah, it's like, bro, what are you, shut up.
It is a funny thing to try to get used to that for the first time. Like, people are talking, like when you work with somebody the first time and a producer's trying to talk to them, like while you're having a conversation and you see him just kind of freeze for a second. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a little bit, I enjoy it though, man. That's so much fun. All right, so.
But yes, NBA. Me and Stephen A. Smith.
You and Stephen A. Smith. The reason I brought that up is you're heading to a big summer league game.
Summer league,
right?
Today. Yeah, I was gonna go over there. It's funny because I felt I was gonna go over there a little bit earlier. I was gonna go at 1, which is 4 hours ahead of when
right.
I needed to be
I'm
there.
I'm trying to schedule.
I'm not gonna go.
But. I'm trying to schedule what time I should come over here to get the podcast with you done, taped today. And you're like, can we do morning? I got to get there at 1. And I was like, yeah, man, of course we can do morning. Like, my schedule's flexible. Like, I'm in town this week. What, you know, what are you thinking? Like, 9, something like that? If you got to be there at 1, I want to make sure we have plenty of time to take. You know, usually when I show up here at the palatial grounds, I mean, it takes a while to just get here, right?
Just to get past all the,
you got to get through all the security checks. Even at this point, they still keep it up really tight.
I appreciate that.
I mean, the security's there. And I try. I'm like, you recognize me, right? And they're like, ID, sir. And I'm like, it's me. I'm there every week.
Now,
like,
I told them you can leave your shoes on now.
That's kind. They follow TSA.
TSA guidelines.
So anyway, it takes a while to get here, and then you know we don't just immediately like sit down and like go. We catch up on life. Hey, what have you been up to the last
coffee.
Couple of days? Have a little coffee. Maybe throw some cinnamon in it, like a weirdo that you do. Like it's literally just become, you know. At first, it was like, well, a girl came over and she put some cinnamon in, and I don't know. I'm not even sure this girl ever came to your house. Now, to be honest with you, I didn't see her here. I didn't see her here, and you're like, well, this girl put cinnamon in my coffee, and I actually kind of like it a little bit. I don't know that actually happened, to be honest with you. I think you just started putting cinnamon in your coffee one day. And
The idea came. I was like, why haven't I not put these two things together?
Just a wisp. So now you're a cinnamon coffee guy. That's happened over the last year or so. You've turned into a cinnamon. So I'll come over. I'll have a little cinnamon coffee with you. You know what I mean? And then we'll you know, catch up on whatever. So anyway, we're trying to figure out the timing. And you're like, so I was like, so I want to be alert and aware of that. I want to be, you know, you got to be there at 1. I don't want to impede on that. And you're like, well, I don't have to be there at 1. Like, the game's at 5. I'm like, bro, 4 hours early. Like, I know, look.
You got to get the lay of the land.
Look.
You don't know. I don't know where, you know, I got to find where the credential pickup. They might have some other things going. There's other games going
on. We used to set the tone at MMA Junkie, right? Because
I still do.
We wanted to be there an hour. Because back in the day, you know, it was a free-for-all.
Yep.
And we were like, we want to make sure the MMA Junkie camera is center. Front and center. We don't want that side shot. Mm-mm. We don't want the profile where Mm-mm. we get some weird shadows. We definitely don't want to be behind somebody where maybe a hand gets in the way of the lens. We don't want that to happen. So we would get there an hour early to make sure that we were first in line. And I think it became kind of a sense of pride. People would always go, oh, there's John and Kenny. They're first in line, always first in line. So we would do that. Now, you don't have to do that anymore because basically everything is reserved seat, and that's what I think. But I know you keep up the tradition. You're like, no.
Yeah, I was going to say, ask me how long I get there. It's
an hour early. Even though it's a reserved seat. And I think you deserve some commendation for that, right? Like, even though you know that you could show up last, you could be last in line, you could check in as the first fight is walking out, and you would still get your spot right there because it's reserved. And they got you, and they always put you front and center because they got respect for, I'm just going to say, a potential Journalist of the Year nominee.
Well, you know.
I'm just going to say. I don't know if it's there, but I would just say.
It's not there.
But we'll see. We'll see what the panel thinks. But you still get there an hour early, so I respect that. So I got to respect that. But, sir, 4 hours early you want to get to the NBA game tonight.
Well, part of it. This is only the second summer league I've done. The first one, I remember it being sort of like a cluster, you know, it was just like you get there and you don't know where things particularly are. So part of the early time was to make sure I get my credential. Mm-hmm. And then the second was like just getting the lay of the land, getting a spot, getting whatever. And again, if that means like, hey, if I'm relegated to the top upper balcony, I'd rather get the best spot of the top upper balcony as opposed to whatever. So, is it overkill? And I did decide I'm not going to go.
Okay.
I'll go maybe 2 o'clock.
All right, there you go. That's still 3 hours.
But I mean, it's going to take me 30 minutes to get down there.
It's Thomas and Mac,
it's
right?
It's at Thomas and Mac.
But dude, it's.
But
like,
I mean, there's games going on all day. So there's other stuff going on. Okay. I'm
if you're stuck outside, it's 110 degrees out. Yeah, there's not a lot of shade over there.
There's games going on. So like the main one that I'm there to cover, which is the huge game that everybody's talking about, is Lakers and the Mavs. So you got Bronny James and you got the Cooper Flagg kid.
Right.
And
number one draft pick.
So part of it is just I know there's going to be extra media going for that particular one. So I'm just trying to get whatever. But, I mean, ultimately, I mean, this is one of the things I'm just happy that USAT's like, hey, go down there and do something, whatever. So the one thing I can control is if I'm there on time and I'm there with an understanding of where I need to be when things happen. And could I show up, you know, an hour before it starts or 30 minutes before and try to figure it out? Sure. But I'd rather get there and get the stress, the anxiety of whatever over, you know. And if that means just, you know, because even if I'm sitting here at the house, I'm going to be thinking about what I need to do down there. So part of my brain's just like,
just go.
Yeah, just get there and just figure it out.
I get that.
You know, and worst case, I'll just watch other basketball games while I'm there. You know? So it's not the worst thing, but.
I like it. I like seeing you branch out, man. I like seeing you do stuff, man. I hope USA Today continues to use you in roles like that because, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, obviously, our passion is still MMA. It's always going to be that. But there are other sports here in town. This is a sports town now.
And
you
that's
know
it.
What I mean?
That's
this
what it boils down to. I mean, I love the sports that are offered in Vegas. I love Vegas. The more shit that I can shoot to show Vegas, the better.
Yep.
You know, like MMA obviously is what brought me to Vegas in the first place. But, I mean, that's not going to go away.
No.
But, like, you might as well just look at some of these other cool things. Because at the end of the day, you know, they want to increase viewership. They want to increase things that people can engage in, and there's nothing really more engaging in terms of like big cities than Las Vegas.
Yep.
I mean, it's one of the best ones, you know. And I feel like we do we're just touching the surface of all the stuff that's here. So hopefully, and I know I've been saying this for years, you know, that they'll finally take the little baby steps
are happening, right?
Little baby steps. I want to say this is one of the first times they've sent anybody to, you know, the summer league.
That's awesome.
But I mean,
and
like,
why wouldn't you?
I know.
It's
right?
A national sports network, and you're here, and these are, like you said, it's a big game. Like, I'm sure tonight on SportsCenter or in whatever, this will be the game that everybody's talking about. As you said, Bronny James, Cooper Flagg, the number one draft pick, they're facing off with each other. You know, it's a quote unquote meaningless game, right? I mean, there's impact, but other than guys getting playing time and just getting reps, but. Those are two personalities of sport that everybody's going to be talking about. So this will be, especially during this time of the year, it's that summer year, right, where baseball's going on, and that's about it. And I'm not talking trash about baseball. That's the only sport, right? Whereas, like, in the fall, you got basketball, hockey, football all going on at the same time right now. So why not go take advantage and go get a little tape and get a little quotes and whatever, you know?
And that's the hope. I mean, and it's, you know, because the sports cycle just is always constantly changing. And granted, we live in a bubble where there's always MMA events.
No off-season in MMA,
there's no off-seasons, you know. But, you know, it's easy to lose track of all the other sports that's going on, you know. So even, you know, so here I am like, hey, I want to go shoot this. And then we're already on one of the work calls yesterday. They were talking about the planning, the preparation for the Olympics in 2026 or whatever. That's
going to
be
LA, right?
It part LA and part, I think they're spreading, I think they're split, like locations or something like that. So talking about how to prep that and the team, I'm like, dude, I want to be on that team. I want to get that nod, you know. So like, it's little things like that. So the more
are
I
you
can
in
shoot
discussion with
stuff,
maybe like, hey, I could do that.
They know I want to.
Yeah.
You know, but they already have
so
like
close,
people.
Right?
They have other people that are already sort of assigned to that sort of stuff because since I live in the MMA bubble, they have all these other people that are assigned this other stuff. So it's a matter of getting the legwork so that the people realize that hey. Let's use this guy possibly. This guy's a resource as well. So we'll see. I mean, ultimately, I would love it if I got the assignment to
That'd
help work out on one of the Olympics. It'd just be a bucket list thing, you know? Like,
is it weird for you? Like, all right, so MMA, we know we show up. I mean, we know the staff. We know the sport. We know the people. We know like, you're an expert, right? You know what I mean? Like, an actual – is it weird to you to go to sports that you don't really 100%. Know that much about? And you're like, is it intimidating at all to, like, show
up? A little
up
bit, yeah. Especially, like, that's why it was cool, like, even, like, the WNBA, you know, like, seeing how the inner workings of that when you go to boxing, even though boxing drives me effing crazy, just to see the different inner workings and stuff. But, yeah, going to see the WNBA games, and this is going to be another one today.
Right.
Going over to the NBA and seeing, you know, a lot of the guys that live and breathe – these other sports, because you know you try to work with a different PR. I'm like, hey, where do we go from here? What does this happen? Yeah. Where do we go with this?
It's like you roll in and be like, Kenny, what's going on?
No, so doing? Yeah, it's one of those things that it's just until you get comfortable, you just need reps, you know? So like the more stuff that you cover on NFL and other stuff. But what's been great about like the WNBA ones, seeing people and other media people that used to be in like the MMA space that now work over there. Like Heidi Feng has been great. Like, so like we'll go around the WNBA stuff and she's introduced me to the other media guys, other people. So it's like
probably a little Case Kiefer action might be over there.
I think I've seen there.
Maybe a little Adam Hill might be rolling
Adam's
by.
Every once in a while I'll see Adam. But yeah, you see a whole group of like just like the local news outlets that cover all the beats and stuff like that. You know, you'll see a lot of them. But no, it's been great. But yeah, it definitely puts you off a little bit because you just we're so used to everything being laid out.
What if our man Dave Schaller still makes the trip in?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think the Sixers are playing here, right? I believe so. I think they're involved in some of the game.
I would imagine.
I think I saw them on the schedule. That's cool. How many years ago was that we shot with Dave Schaller talking about what we talked about Maymack, right? And we talked about Jones Cormier, the shove.
6, 7, 8 years ago. Got to be, because he's been with them for at least.
He's big time now. Dave Schaller's big time, but not that he was already big time with the UFC. He's big time over there now.
Big.
That's awesome, man. Well, good stuff, man. Well, it's, like I said, I'm obviously the UFC and mixed martial arts is always going to be our big thing, but it's cool seeing you cover that other stuff.
I will tell you, I hit mitts a hell of a lot better than Stephen A. Smith. That boy can't hit for shit.
Wasn't there some story that like that he was hitting it weird like that because it was some kind of rehab or something? Like he was supposed to be like
working on. If he was injured, then maybe that would explain it. Because
everybody's seen that clip. I think the story was, and maybe this was just his cover story or something. There's no way he was hitting mitts like that. But I think it was like there was like a rotator cuff surgery or something. And so the whole thing was we need you to turn as far as possible like as part of the rehab. So that's why it was like the weird like up down left right like I seemingly recall, and I'm not trying to be a Stephen A. Smith defender here. I just always hate seeing people get like slandered or like something taken out of context. I believe in context. He was, but then again, how did that video get out? Like, if you were hitting mitts goofy like that, you wouldn't post that on your own social media,
like,
right?
You post the rehab stuff unless you're really trying to show your progress. Like, show the receipts. Where's the rest of the rehab?
That clip.
But I'm teasing. But yeah, no, I saw that. I was just like, oh, okay.
That was funny.
Well, he's doing better in the other stuff, but I'll take him on the mitts.
Take him on the mitts. All right, listen, we do have a USC event in Nashville this week. You guys don't have anybody out there, right? You guys,
no.
I don't think there's a ton of media that made the trip out there, but we'll talk about that. It's actually a fun looking event on paper, to be honest.
That's a good card.
I think it's gonna be a good card. There's some kind of a weirdly emotional week, and we'll get into that stuff as well because there was some down stuff, some up stuff, some emotional stuff, whatever, outside of the world of fighting itself. But I did want to bring up, because it was announced this morning, the first thing I woke up to be honest, was this announcement that the PFL has named a new CEO, John Martin, who I'll be honest with you, I'm not familiar with. And my first reaction was, oh man, they're bringing in somebody else that has nothing to do with combat sports.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, what is
just another money guy?
Just another. Yeah, I wasn't sure where he comes from. Now, it does seem very interesting, right? He comes from Turner Sports. He's been a CEO, a CFO in media. He was chairman and CEO of Turner LLC from 2014 to 2018. And according to the press release, he led the company to $13 billion in annual revenue. Of course, that's the company that owns things like TNT, TBS, CNN, Turner Sports. So very involved in sports. So from a strategic standpoint, that seems to make sense, right? The PFL has always been a little bit short. Like, they've been on ESPN, but if you talk to anybody behind the scenes, it hasn't been a big money deal with ESPN. I think still probably wise to just be associated with ESPN, 100%. Even if they're not giving you a ton of money. Like, if you could take some money, for instance, I don't want to pick on it, like DAZN, right? DAZN pays people, but like how many people really pay for DAZN and have DAZN? So it's that weird balance. You know, Bellator went through the same thing where they're like, hey man, you're getting a lot of money from Showtime, but how many people are paying for Showtime? So is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Like, yes, you got cash, but you might be getting less eyeballs. So I've always said, hey, even if you're not getting a lot of money from ESPN, not a bad thing to be on ESPN for the PFL.
It's definitely like legitimacy. You're getting a piece of legitimacy because you're just part of that network.
100%. You know? But I do know that, you know, as the UFC is getting their new TV deal in line, the PFL, I believe, is 1 year behind the UFC's. I think they wanted to be free at the same time. I can't remember the exact date, but I know that they wanted to kind of, and it's smart on their part, yep, strategically be like, all right, well, we'll
fill
see
the void.
That's right. We'll see who gets the UFC, but I bet whoever didn't win the UFC would still like to be in the MMA game, and we'll go there. So anyway, so they're bringing this guy in at what I would seem like an opportune time since he's in the television world. But again, my initial impression was, here's a guy that knows nothing about mixed martial arts. He's gonna help negotiate a TV deal. But it turns out there is some paragraphs in here in this press release. John's passion for MMA runs deep. In his mid-20s, he began training in martial arts. I think he's in his 40s now, so he's been training for 20 years, earning a black belt in karate and a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. He competed in numerous amateur tournaments through his early 40s. Captivated by UFC 1, he quickly recognized the sport's unique appeal and long-term business potential, becoming a dedicated follower of MMA from his early days. So I wouldn't call him an MMA person. He hasn't been in the space, but at least he's been watching, observing. He's familiar with the product. So it sounds like a pretty, I don't know, from a name I didn't recognize to realizing, okay, hold on, TV roots, broadcast roots, passion for mixed martial arts,
Yep, he's got the discipline to go through all the way through to earn a black belt and stuff. Like, that's respectable.
Might be a solid hire for them. And just what I should say this too, because I was like, oh, damn, are they getting rid of Pete Murray? Because I like Pete Murray. I think he's sharp. I don't know how much time you spend around Pete Murray. Pete doesn't do a ton of interviews. And I will say Pete is very polished to the point where when he does interviews, you're literally only getting the information that he's prepared to announce that day.
You know, it's like him and Don Davis are night and day different.
Night and day, yin and yang, bro. Different. I mean, totally night and day. You're like, Don Davis is off the cuff, fast. I'll say this.
Angry.
I'm doing that.
It seems like he loses his cool. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen Pete lose his cool in a presser or anything.
Pete is as professional and polished as he gets, man. So I was like, damn, are they getting rid of Pete? Because I like Pete, but it's not. Pete is actually going to take care of all the international leagues, which I think is smart. Has somebody that's overseeing just the international leagues, and then I guess this new gentleman, John Martin, is going to oversee the company as a whole and the U.S. distribution and the U.S. product, which is the flagship product, that sort of thing. I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of intrigued by it, man. I think it might be a solid move. Here's the one thing I want to say. I'm going to be interested to see if this guy is a public-facing figure and speaking to the media and just being that out front guy, because I still kind of lack that, right? Like Ray Sefo is obviously highly respected in the MMA community. Like, if you're only an MMA fan, you might not realize how respected Ray Sefo is.
Yep.
You know, his kickboxing days, absolute legend. Like, dude, if you want to go back and watch, like, that dude was a terror. And then obviously a coach and just like a beloved figure in the gym.
I'm gonna say that's it. Like, he's a leader of a company. He's a face of a big brand, and the dude's still in there grinding and getting hard time in the cage, like grinding.
Ray Sefo,
a lot of respect for that dude.
Is the man.
Yeah.
But I think he doesn't always seem the most comfortable in public speaking situations, which is weird. Because I always think it's so funny. Like, bro, you strip down to your shorts and go fight in a cage or go fight in a ring. Like, you do the scariest thing on earth, but you know, you get in front of a couple cameras, you're like, I don't know. Yeah. So, you know, he's kind of taking some turns at that, but they need somebody polished they can talk about. I haven't seen the full interview, but I saw Jonathan Coachman, who's been doing a lot more of the speaking and representation for them. And Coachman is great, right? Like, Coachman is very charismatic, very passionate. He knows the product well. But it is weird when, like, you're not really the guy calling the shots, but you're up there talking about stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you're answering, but you can't really call shots. I don't know. It's a little disconnect. If you're not really an exec and you're speaking like an exec, it's a little bit different. So, anyway, I don't know. A lot of information there. But I'm kind of intrigued by this. It seems like a good hire. But I also wonder, is he going to be a public-facing, you know, public-speaking kind of figure?
Yeah. I mean, anytime, you know, somebody has that sort of track record and he's bringing numbers in, you know, that certainly you hope it pays dividends, you know, to keep them afloat and keep them thriving. Because, like we've always said, there is a wonderful place in this space for other competitors like the PFL, you know, and with the demise or sort of the just dissolvement of Bellator, you know, a lot of people, I think, were questioning how well the company was doing.
Right.
So if you're bringing in another guy that has a proven track record, somebody that seems like they respect the game, they respect the sport, they have a real love of it, as opposed to, hey, I'm just taking another high-paying job in a company, you know, he might have the passion and the drive to actually really put his time and effort into it and not just see it as a big paycheck.
Such a good point. Like, I personally care about this.
Like, I care about this.
This isn't just my job to feed my family right now.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times when you hear about somebody coming in, you hear like they were at a CFO or there or whatever, you're like, okay, they're bringing another finance guy in that he's good at fundraising. Yes, you need somebody that's good at fundraising and bringing anybody to be in business, but are they really going to be passionate at the end of the day to make sure that things thrive, or are they just going to take the money while they can and then jump to another place?
Right.
This guy at least has the groundwork, it seems, to be fully vested and try to make the most. So, yeah, hope the best. You know, if they're bringing it in, and then, you know, and especially, like you said, Murray was a great dude. So if they're feeling like they need to, you know, really be able to delegate those responsibilities because those markets are getting so big and so powerful. Like, we see a lot of these events over in Europe, and a lot of these fighters, you know, us being so focused here in the U.S. and a lot of the guys that come here to the States, it's hard to keep track of whatever.
Yep.
So when you think about there's a whole of these other markets that have all these fighters and all these other businesses that we've never even heard of, and you can have somebody that just focuses on that and builds that side and let somebody else focus on the other stuff. I mean, like,
all these local broadcast partners, all these local venue deals, all these local sponsorships, all
it'd
these.
It'd be impossible for one person to know the whole world. Like, 100%. It makes sense. Like, if they're really trying to do it, it's not like the UFC operates out of the Las Vegas office. They have literally branches around the world to make sure that this happens. So if anything else, it points to that maybe the PFL is doing better or stronger than what maybe a lot of people perceive, since they're able to kind of initiate this and realize that there's a need, and you hope it's not just a matter of like, well, this is a last-ditch effort. Let's see what we can do.
Let's just throw more money at it and see what happens.
Let's hope that it's the other, where it's actually like there is an actual need and they're just running with momentum to kind of build it. But I like the fact that the guy, you know, he's a martial artist. He has a love of it. You know, I mean, that certainly makes me feel better, because when you were talking earlier about like CFO and he was at this company, it's great when you can hear numbers and you're like, okay, well, that, I guess that bodes well. But when it looks like and sounds like the guy actually likes the game, loved the original UFC, like just like everybody else that got hooked, and it's like, okay, he's one of us.
Yep.
So, you know, fingers crossed, you know, hopefully it keeps going.
Fingers crossed. You need as many organizations as possible.
Yes.
You need opportunities for people. And listen, I have said for a long time, and I still believe this, that the international leagues are the best things that the PFL is doing. But if they can get a nice TV deal here in the United States as well, and they can continue the momentum, and, you know, it seems like the end of this year could be fun, where I think they're taking, like, you know, the tournament winners, and they're going to pair them up with the champions that are reigning from the Bellator champions, or I guess it's just the PFL Champions Series now. It's interesting. So, I don't know. I think at first when I woke up and I read the news, I was like, eh. But then the more I looked into it, I'm like, maybe this is a nice play for him. Maybe this is a nice play
I mean, we need the space to be strong. You know, one for our work and that we live and breathe in this sort of environment. You know, you want this market to be good. And I mean, like, because I think a lot of times people are like, oh, well, the market's over, it's oversaturated, there's just too much. You know, people feel like, oh, is MMA not as strong as it used to be? Is it dying? Or are people interested in it as much? You know, I hope that's not the case.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I think there's a ton of sports to watch on the TV every day, and I hope that MMA stays one of the ones, you know, since we live and breathe in that world. But, you know,
I was thinking about it too, and obviously now that I'm kind of separated from the media side of the game, it's interesting, right? Because the PFL gets very, very, very little media coverage. Now, I will say, even the UFC this week, I mean, I was watching the media days from yesterday, and it didn't seem like there was a lot of media there. I said, I know you guys didn't send anybody. I don't think MMA Fighting sent anybody. But it's interesting because, like, when we got into this, and I know it's not the media's job to be, like, cheerleaders or whatever, but, like, most of the reason most media people got into media and in the MMA side is because they love the sport. You know what I mean? They're passionate about the sport. But it's tough now, man. And again, I'm not trying to criticize, because it's business. I mean, they're businesses. Like, MMA Fighting is Vox Media. Obviously, MMA Junkie is Gannett. And, like, there are people at the offices that are looking at, you know, profit and loss statements. And, and if you look at it and you say, you know, how much traffic did the PFL generate? You know, man, it doesn't generate any You know what I mean? It doesn't generate any compared to the UFC. So those companies are going to tell you, don't commit any resources to it because it doesn't generate any traffic. And that it's fair from a business perspective, but it kind of sucks from like a fan perspective of like you're not giving it any oxygen whatsoever. Yep. So how does it grow?
And that's how you kind of like to have to pick and choose those battles when you kind of push back on like the money guys, you know, they're like, oh, you know, well, you know, you have this budget to travel and go to things, you know, do we really want to do something like that? You know, do we just stick with the UFC? And it's like, how do you explain to them that, you know, you need the whole market to thrive, you know, by giving coverage, you know, we're going to, you know, touch upon fighters that we could build upon that maybe others aren't, you know, talking about, and it helps the whole thing thrive. And it's just like, you almost have to be like, we've been doing it for a long time. We know what we're doing.
Yep.
Stop looking at the bottom line right now and just trust the process that, you know, as we cover these events and we cover these other organizations outside of the UFC, that it benefits the whole MMA space. Yep. Like, think of it as an MMA. We're covering MMA. We're not covering the UFC.
It's true.
You know, and I think a lot of times they want to just think like, oh, what's happening in the UFC? These fighters all train in UFC? They fight? Yes, yes. Do you train UFC, sir? well, I fight for PFL, but I train MMA. You know, at the end of the day, it's MMA.
Yep.
You know, we're an MMA site. We should be covering MMA sites and not, you know, we're not a UFC site, even though that is the primary driver of this space, you know. But how do you explain it to somebody when they're just looking at numbers? And
it's tough. It's such a weird balance, because I get it from their point of view if you're not 100%. In the space. And I get it too, that like it's not, because what you said I think is totally true, and people will counter, well, it's not the media's job to, you know, be PR or whatever, and I always hear that sort of thing. And it's like, yeah, you're right, that is true, it's not our job to be PR. But I tell you what, if you can help shine a light on other things, and you can help educate the audience that, hey, audience, you've been coming here because you know about the UFC, because it's the biggest brand, it's front and center, and that's what you're used to seeing. But I think you should also look over here, because there's some great fighters over here, and I think you might enjoy this as well. And that's why I'm telling you about – and again, so it's that weird argument where people are, well, that's not the media's job. The media's job is not – like, it's not, but if I can help educate the audience that's already coming to us anyway about, hey, here's some other stuff you might like, then it's worthwhile for everybody. It helps the whole space, and it helps you. It's self-serving to the company itself, because it's like, oh, well, I can come back on non-UFC weeks, and I can look at this stuff too. You know, it's
and the characters. I mean, like, it's a whole access. You know, everybody loves a good character story. I mean, like, a paper, anything. It's always stories about characters and people, and it's like, if we only say, all right, we're just going to look at this pool of people and only talk about this pool of people and never look out at any new prospect, anybody else, that's very limited.
Yep.
You know, like, there doesn't give you much room to grow, you know? So, like, if you know there's potential to find these incredible characters off to the side, imagine if somebody just got in the game right now and they're like, man, we're only going to look at the UFC and never look at this Francis guy that's over in the PFL right now. Should we not pay attention to them because this Francis Ngannou guy is not with the UFC? Should we not pay attention to them anymore?
So true, right?
You know, like all these other characters, this Dakota Dicheva, who is
amazing,
a huge star, you know, and just touching the surface of where she can go. Should we not pay attention to her? Should we not look over there? You know, 100%. Then we have all these Europeans and all these fighters that are popping up.
Paul Hughes was a big story of last year, you know what
I mean?
I mean,
like, should we not pay attention to them just because they're not? I mean, like, it's the characters that is what's driving people that want to go to the site. They'll go to the site to find the stories about the people that they care about.
Yep.
They might not know yet that they care about these people until we show them.
That's it.
And then we tell them. And then next thing you know, they're like, holy cow, I love this guy. I love this whatever. I can't wait till he's in the UFC, but I'm loving everything that he's doing right now. And then you get those views. And then it's just like, what did we tell you, folks? Just trust the process.
Trust the process.
trust the process.
Well, we'll be paying attention to the PFL. Congrats to them on the new hiring. We'll see how it all shakes out. Before we get to USC, we'll definitely talk about it. I do want to talk about some of the and I'm glad we had some news, because I didn't really want to start with all this stuff. It's been a gut-wrenching week, man. I guess first I'll start with the Ben Askren update. Man, post
like,
the video.
This is like, I almost feel like you should do the downer.
Do the down
and then do the positive one.
All right.
Because there's no easy way to transfer. Both of them are horrible situations. But I feel like with Ben, we can maybe spin it back
that's
up.
That's true. All right. Well, then I'll start with Jeff Brady then.
Yeah. It's hard.
Life passes in an instant, dude. And Jeff, and it's been so cool to see the outpouring of support. And obviously, the method in which he past is, I mean, true hero shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, true hero shit. Like, yep. We, you know, may throw out superlatives sometimes, whatever, but, like, when you selflessly, immediately, without hesitation, go to save children's lives without any concern of your own, and it ultimately costs you your own, tragic, but, like, hero shit, like
yep.
running into a burning building,
yep.
jumping into floodwaters, and my God, the floodwaters and the death tolls that are happening in the United States right now,
yeah,
if horrific. You're global and horrific. You haven't seen these headlines, I mean, it's horrific. But it's so sudden, and it was Jeff is old school, right? He was around, you know, and you've seen a lot of his story. It's one of those things that, like, the average MMA fan probably has no idea who he is, you yeah. know what I mean? But a behind-the-scenes figure that was beloved. He was a big part of Dan Henderson's crew for years, I should say. Big part of Clinch Gear, getting that done. And then he started working in operations and merchandising, Cage Warriors, PFL, Bellator. Behind the scenes. But kind of this larger-than-life personality. Like, one of those dudes that was just incredibly nice, incredibly energetic, incredibly positive at all times. He's from that old school. You and I, people have listened to the show for a long time, have heard me and you during those days. But, like, you know, the MMA scene and the MMA business 10 years ago was completely different.
Yep.
It was more the Wild West, obviously, before the UFC was a big corporation. And, you know, we all had our share of partying and hanging out and that sort of thing. And, you know, Jeff was one of those guys that I had a chance to hang out with a couple times during those days. And now everything got corporate, and we didn't have those big partying hanging out, but he was still always that guy that was coming up and, like, asking how your family was and just checking in. And I thought it was cool because I think it was one of the reasons I wanted to share this is because, like, I saw a lot of people that worked with him and that were like, you know, this was my coworker and it was amazing. And the only reason I really wanted to mention something is, like, I never worked directly with him. Like, he was not a coworker. There was no, like, I didn't, the relationship had no benefit for him. Like, we didn't work together. He wasn't asking, when I was working for MMA Junkie, it wasn't if he was like, well, if I get close to John, he'll cover me for the, you know, he'll cover my
yeah.
business. You know, there was
yeah.
no, like,
yep.
by being nice to me, you're gaining anything out of it. He was just a nice guy. Like,
yep.
he was just that dude, like, had positivity and energy for everybody around him, you know what I mean? And I don't know, when you see somebody like that pass, and again, it's just a reminder, bro, that, like, I mean, sometimes we get so caught up in stuff, and, like, I think, like, you have to realize, man, like, dude, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, and things
yep.
can change, and circumstances, and, like, dude, you gotta respect life and value life, and not to get too deep or whatever, but I don't know, when you see somebody like that who's so energetic, so loved, and it's just gone, and then, like you said, and like I said, just doing it in such heroic fashion.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sad, man.
Yeah, super. I mean, the guy lived and breathed hero shit right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I think a lot of us would say, oh, I'd jump right in. I'd run into that burning fire. I'll do whatever, you know, but without even thinking, it seemed like there was no hesitation at all. Dude jumped in and did what needed to do, you know, like, you got to give him all the credit in the world. And when you hear all the tributes from his friends, it makes it seem like that was not shocking at all.
Right.
Like, that they would expect nothing less of that, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's. I was trying to think back if I had hung out with him. He has the face I know I've seen around the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would have been just like what you were saying, like hanging out at a beach, partying,
I
drinking or whatever.
You, I guarantee you.
I just can't remember any
yeah.
moments personally.
I guarantee
but,
you we crossed paths at some point, man. I guarantee.
And that's why I feel bad that I don't remember, because I guarantee, like you said, we probably all drank together
100%.
On a beach somewhere, did whatever.
And I tell you the other thing that he always did every year, because Dan Henderson hosts like a big like
yeah,
pig roast every
big
year.
Bashes.
And
yeah.
and Jeff, I think, was big in like helping organize that. And every year he was always like, bro, come out, come out. And I always felt bad. Like, it's different now that I'm no longer with MMA Junkie, I guess. Like, I used to always make it a point of like, I don't hang out with fighters. Like, that's not
yeah.
okay. Like, you're covering these fighters for a living.
Yeah.
You can't hang out with them outside.
That's the journalistic way.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to get close.
Right.
You're not.
How
can you unbiasedly report on somebody if you can't? Like, us just covering how we already, it's hard to not get attached to fighters, you know. And then if you hang out with them and you're there at their homes, like that, you're making it really hard for yourself.
Yeah, how do you
stay subjective?
How do you cover their opponents objectively? How do you cover if they get into legal issues? How do you cover that? Like, how do you do that if you're friends with them?
Yeah,
you know
if you
what
have
mean?
To start pulling yourself away and say, I can't report on this because I'm clearly –
Yeah, then you're no longer valuable at your job or whatever. Yeah. So I would never go. Now obviously I won't get, you know.
Yeah, you know, now you feel bad because you won't get a chance to do it.
Yeah, but, you know, it kind of makes me think, too, like I wish I would have accepted those invitations more and just, you know, if just to go hang out with him, you know what I mean? Because, again, he was passionate about this sport, bro. Like, passionate about talk to you about anybody on the card. And so it wasn't like it was just a job for him. It was like that. So,
well, I mean, I know people that we love very much that are putting out tributes about him. And I know that if he was as tight to these people that we're very tight with, it tells you the character of what this guy was.
Well, you know, if you're a friend of that guy, you must be all
I'm
right.
I'm like, I know you're cool. Like, I know you're cool. So, yeah, I mean, a tragic loss for the community, and my heart goes out to his friends and family and those that are directly affected by it. But, man, if there's ever somebody to mimic and want to be like, do the shit that this guy was doing.
Yep.
You know, live the life that he was doing. He was good to people.
Just a positive influence. You know what I mean? Like,
and when it mattered, the dude stepped up. You know, that's all you could hope for a fucking man to do.
That's a man shit. Be a positive influence every single day to the people around you. Don't bring them down. Because you know we're all about, I mean, and then you start getting into like, I mean, don't cover up anything that you're dealing with, you know what I mean? Like, be a feel for you to deal with what you're dealing with. But yeah, be a positive energy and a positive influence to people around you. And then if you're ever required to step up. Like,
cool.
that is a grown ass man right there, dude.
Yeah.
Like, just unfortunate, man. As you said, no easy transition for there. I guess I'll mention one as well. We don't know the whole details yet, but on top of everything that was happening, Randy Couture injured in a hot rod crash. He's drag racing, dude. Obviously Randy Couture, another grown ass man who is you know,
doing man shit.
Like, I'm just drag. Like, I'm like, what is he doing? So look, I'm not the biggest car guy, right?
Yeah.
But my kid is getting to the age now where he's starting to like really like cars and stuff like that. And so we actually got a chance to go to a car show like not that long ago. That was out at the Speedway. I think we talked about it briefly. I spent an afternoon out there, and it was fun. But one of the things they did is, you know, during that time at the car show, they had the drag race, the drag strip out there. They were having all these different competitions during the car show. People were like bringing their cars out there, and it's like, you know, their own personal vehicles or whatever, and racing them on the drag strip. And I had never been to it. I mean, I've seen it on TV or whatever. I know, obviously, the big funny cars and all that. But these are just, like, regular-ass cars. I don't know exactly what Randy was driving, but that shit is dangerous, dude. Like, people just think, oh, you just hit the accelerator and you go fast. Like, dude, like, one little piece of wind or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, because we saw it a couple times. There was one that, like, a car almost wrecked bad. Luckily, the dude was able to gain control of it. But you could see, because we were sitting right up on it, it wasn't packed, that those things, like, the downforce and the air that gets underneath them, they start to get loose on that track, and they, you know, they cross. So anyway, Randy Couture is a madman, and I don't know what the hell he's doing doing this. But I hope he's okay, because obviously Randy is a legend in the game. Obviously incredibly influential here in Las Vegas, Extreme Couture, of course, but just in the sport as a whole. I did, when I read it, just think, like, what the hell is he doing out there? But I guess, you know, Randy Couture is just going to do Randy Couture stuff.
And I mean, and he'd even really recently spoke about, you know, like how dangerous, but how tricky that these things are. You know, I think, you know, he had mentioned, like, you go to watch these races and you just watch these cars go really fast down the lane. And you're like, okay, that's easy. You just put the gas. And, but he realized it's very, very difficult. There's a lot of things, and let alone the fuel types that these cars use. Super highly flammable, and then let alone if you involve the crash in it already, it's dangerous, extreme sport, you know. And a lot of people, it's more than just driving down, and I think he respected that. So I mean, I'm sure that, you know, these cars are super high powered, but I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Seems he's gonna have a full recovery. He said what, first and second degree burns, which sucks and bad, but I mean, they could have been worse. It could have been worse, you know. Like, they do wear suits, protective suits, but then even wearing a protective suit, you could still get hurt and you could still get burned. And I don't know what the speed was when he finally crashed, but I mean, I'm sure it was fast and dangerous. But, you know, I'm glad at the end of the day, he's going to make a full recovery and, you know, he's okay.
Yep.
He's okay.
100%.
You know, he'll shake it off, and I guarantee he'll be back in there. Randy does a lot of really cool shit, you know, like especially this. I think I was trying to look to see if this was related to charities and if he was doing something. This just seems like he wanted to do some fucking man shit and, race fast. But him,
he does like the charity motorcycles. Like the
He does like he has the Extreme Couture GI Foundation, and they do the different, they do bike rides, they do a bunch of other stuff with.
I know Tough Enough would always, Tough Enough would always partner with them. Operation Knockout, the events were called a big fundraising.
He does a lot
thing.
To really support troops, whether they be wounded warriors or, you know, troops that are still active fighters. He does a really lot of good shit. So he's another dude that's a really, really good dude that you don't want to lose. So, you know, I'm glad that he's going to have a full recovery. And
and he
watch that lead foot, dog.
He'll definitely do it again.
Like, he's going to do it again.
In my head,
he's like,
Randy,
oh, are you first, doing second degree burns?
It wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't so bad. All right, so then we'll circle back to where we originally started with Ben Askren, man, the update. You know, we've been talking about this a little bit along the way. Obviously, we didn't really know much and what status was. Now we've seen him. He posted himself, and he's in recovery.
Yep.
Watching it, I was glad that he posted the video. It was definitely a little bit hard to watch, but also very amazing and encouraging. Yep. It was like this weird weird conflict of, like, it's like I said, working with CFFC Match Day and getting to work on the college wrestling side of things the past couple of years, and working very closely with Ben Askren. I mean, I got to hang out with him. Gosh, we're talking about 8 months ago. I got to hang out with him for several days, and you know, seeing the reverence that the college wrestling community has for him, and being reminded of, like, because I kind of only knew. I mean, I was aware of his college wrestling background, but I wasn't living in that space. I was living in MMA, and he had a great MMA career as well.
Yeah.
But college wrestling was amazing, and then I've mentioned it here a couple times about how he's being impactful in the community and like helping raise youth and just a positive role model. So it's incredible. So it's kind of hard to watch, right? Because he said he's down 50 pounds. He not only looks physically different as anybody that loses 50 pounds would be, but he's talking a little bit different. Like, his voice, I mean, obviously he's a double lung transplant.
Well, I was going to say, it looked like he was still trached out or whatever.
Had that right there.
The breathing tube.
So it looks different, sounds different. But I will say the one thing that was nice is, and we kind of talked about this recently, and it kind of got the emotions going too, where he's like, seeing the outpouring of support, he felt like he got to go to his own funeral, right? And it kind of reminded me of the Jordan Breen situation, right? Where you saw the outpouring of support once people learned of his passing. And, you know, I know wholeheartedly that there's no way that Jordan knew how many people respected him and were influenced by him.
Yeah.
And even Ben Askren, who is revered in that community, I still don't think that, you know, I think everybody has a little bit of self-doubt, a little bit of whatever, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, obviously he heard all the hate and heard all the, you know, he knows he had some very high profile losses and, you know, there's people are shitty on the internet. There's no question about it. So even he, who is a legend, maybe probably didn't realize as much like how many people love him as well. So I did like that side of it. He was like, it was almost like I got to have my funeral. And again, that's just sort of such a reminder too, to like, man, show your love and appreciation to people while they're here. You know what I mean? And so, it was, like I said, it was an encouraging, beautiful update, but a jarring one as well. Yeah. And just insane. Again, how nothing is guaranteed. This dude that's, again, I hung out with him 7 months ago. He's, you know, in the wrestling room training with people, talking about, you know, these potential Olympians, these potential national champions, you know, leading these incredible athletes. And then a staph infection and pneumonia, and all of a sudden you need both your lungs transplant.
Double lung transplant.
I mean, Jesus,
it's crazy. I mean, and you know, and he remarked, said he had died like four times, and I think he's like, I couldn't misheard him, and I think he's like, that's not ideal.
Yeah, he was kind of sarcastic.
You're right.
About
that's
it.
Not
like,
ideal.
Oh my
you
God.
Know, but yeah, he had a look of a guy that lost extreme weight, but also if you've ever been with anybody, at the end of their life, that he had that look on his face, and you could see that he had been at death's door. You know, like there's no, there was something so honest, and I love that he shared it. And one, because I think everybody was hearing everything all from the side. They'd hear from his wife, which was awesome and strong of her to put the stuff out. But then you'd start hearing these stuff from others, but to hear it straight from him, see him living, breathing, talking was so good.
Yes.
But I could also see where somebody else might be like, let me get a little bit better. Because it was such a jarring look to see something that's been at death's door when the last time you've seen him talking, he was, you know, healthy looking, everything looked great. Yep. And it's kind of jarring because they're almost like these larger than life characters. And then when you see him in real life shit, you're just like, wow, it really is really sort of jarring. But I love that he was strong enough to put that video out there. And I think it was... that was the best thing you could do for, I think, the people that cared about him, wanted to see him, because at the end of the day, they're like, thank God. There he is talking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's him. He's talking. That's his voice. Because you could still hear him. Yes, he doesn't sound the same, but you still hear him in there. He's still there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, then to see that his humor was still there.
Yep.
You know, you're still in a hospital bed and you're joking about how you died four times. I'm like, okay, yeah, he's going to be okay.
Yep.
You know, and where he's at right now, he will get better. He will get stronger. He's literally right in the throngs of recovering from a major, major surgery. And his life's going to be completely different.
Yep.
You know, he's come from an athletic background, doing athletics at high levels, and this is going to change everything. His involvement and being able, what he's able to do, most people would just be happy you're living and breathing and walking, but you're also talking to a guy that has been living an athletic lifestyle, and we oftentimes, some athletes have a hard time separating that. But I think when you it's one thing if you have an injury and then all of a sudden your competition days are done. You probably have a mental stress where you're like, who am I anymore?
Right.
But when you're literally at the point where my life could be over, he could come back and be the happiest dude and never even care that he can't compete anymore, because he understands I was not going to be able to be here. You know, if certain things didn't lie, they don't
start
just have lungs.
What matters and what doesn't matter.
Yeah, because when you think about it, it's not like they just have lungs laying around for transplant. Somebody had to pass for him to even get the lungs, you know. So there's a whole chain of things, you know. So I assume he's going to be very, very grateful and, you know, be funny. Maybe he can, you know, do some other things. But it's going to be a big process for him. And knowing Ben, hopefully he shares, because I think it's very powerful for people to see people go through this, because other people in life go through this, and they don't have a platform to do it. So I'm hoping he's very honest and open and share this recovery process, because I think a lot of people – will learn to love him for what his recovery process and how he goes through that.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people off the side that are maybe going through some other similar health issues, and they'll look to him hopefully as a, you know, like, if he can do it, I can do it too.
Continue,
you know,
to be an influence that way.
And continue to be an influence in a different way without, you know, having to be an entertainer for us on a athletic stage or something. But I was glad to see him. I was glad that he was smiling and was joking. I about died when he said, oh, that's not ideal. I was like, damn, that's good. his wit is still right there, you know.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, man. Thoughts and lots of healing energy sending his way. And props to his wife, man.
Yeah.
Takes a strong partner to keep the ship rolling.
Yeah.
You know, you could only hope that we're all so lucky to find somebody that's like that, you know. So good for him.
100%. Well, with the emotions aside, there is a UFC event this weekend on ESPN and ESPN
Plus.
It would have
been a lot harder to go from the Brady
right.
to that.
You are right. How do you go over there? The UFC event in Nashville. I'm just going to throw out there, you know, we're not going to spend a ton of time breaking down each matchup on the card. There's actually, if you look at some, there's potentially some kind of one-sided fights in terms of the wagering odds. That's for damn sure. In fact, former CFFC double champ Fatima Klein, who opens up the night, is a minus 1,200 favorite.
I was going to guess 1,000.
Minus 1,200 against Melissa Martinez. So, I'm a fan of anybody that comes through CFFC, but Fatima, I believe, has really big future ahead, man. She is really, really good. So that's opening the night. So I will be certainly tuned in at 3 p.m. Pacific time to watch this card open up in Nashville. But there's some great fights along the way, including a main event, Derek Lewis and Talison Teixeira.
Oh, this is a hard one.
It is a tough one. Talison Teixeira, this younger, I guess I should say, that, you know, new to the game, up and coming devastating.
He's scary.
He's a scary dude.
Oh, man, it's scary.
He's a scary dude. But Derrick Lewis is a scary dude I know, as well.
Oh, man. Like, everybody knows we love Derrick.
Absolutely.
We homer for Derrick. Whatever my staff picks, I will always pick Derrick. But in this one, man, I picked Derrick. But, man, Tallison is dangerous. He walks for it, and he throws bombs. I just don't – I'm like, please, Derrick, don't try to start and do something like flash. Just walk forward and fucking knock him out, dude. You know, like throw punches. I hope this is one of those ones that, you know, people are discounting Derrick. He's coming in as the underdog. You know, they're seeing this young prospect who's just scary, scary, scary.
Big dude.
You know, I think people are thinking that, oh, maybe Derek's not there. You know, maybe he's moving to a gatekeeper role. But I think this is one of those ones that I hope he can – rise to the level and show people that he's still there. He's still the dangerous heavyweight king that we know him to be.
And I hope Tallison DeShera goes undefeated the rest of his career.
Yeah, after this one.
After this one, you know what I mean? Like, you know,
that's a good way of phrasing it.
Not wishing anything bad on Tallison DeShera. I don't want to make it sound like we're sitting here hating on Tallison DeShera.
You have the longest undefeated career after this one.
20 in a row.
Unless you rematch.
After this one. After this one. Yeah, we always going to cheer for the Black Beast, Derrick Lewis.
And he's got a great team behind him. You know, like that. They're just good people, man. Just good team. And that's a funny. We're like, you're trying to be biased. I'm like, I mean, I still want Tallison to perform great. You know, do whatever. But
after Saturday.
After.
Wonderboy is facing Gabriel Bonfim. This is a tough matchup for Wonderboy as well. I have a lot of respect, though, for Wonderboy. At his age especially. I mean, it's funny because there's really not any of his contemporaries left. You know, because you could say, well, I only want to fight these guys. I only want to fight the guys that get me excited, the guys that are from my time.
Yep.
He doesn't have any contemporaries left, so he's kind of stuck. If you're around at this point, you're going to be facing these young up-and-comers. But I have a lot of respect for Wonderboy to say that they come to you and they say, Gabriel Bonfim, the guy that everybody's been talking about, remember him? That's who we want to pair you up with. He's not ranked.
Yep.
You have – I wouldn't say you have nothing to gain. Obviously, you have a big paycheck, and it would mean a lot. But
they know it's going to be on the feet, and I guarantee he's like, okay, well, this guy's going to want to strike. He's going to want to knock my head off. Can I do what I do and keep the distance and pull out some wonder shit? You know, like, it's funny. When I went back, and so I'm doing a piece about different highlight stuff, and it pulled out – I think it was Wonderboy versus Jake Ellenberger. What's it happen? Or am I combining fights? But it was when Wonderboy was going in there just starching dudes with these crazy, like, spinning head kicks and stuff. I'm like, people forget, like, what he was like at his heyday.
Highlight reel.
Just unbelievable. It was sick. And, like, that was the guy I remember, like, GSP was praising, like, for his martial arts and his taekwondo and his skills. And it's just like, he's still here doing it.
It's crazy.
But this fight, I know it's going to be on the feet. It's going to be standing. He has a great chance to wow some people if he can stay moving, which he does a really good job of moving around. But Bonfim's the real deal.
He's the real
deal. His power is just scary. For a welterweight, he looks like a middleweight, light heavyweight when he gets in there. You know, I mean, he's a big boy. I want good action, but I don't want to see somebody get hurt. I don't want Steven get hurt in this one. He's such a nice guy.
You talk about the longevity. God, this is crazy. Okay, all right. I'll always remember Wonderboy's UFC debut because it was the first fight of the night. It was here in Las Vegas. I want to say maybe the MGM Grand, I think, at that point. No, Mandalay Bay, I believe, is where it was. So UFC 143. I just remember because it was something weird, and I don't remember. It's been so long. I can't remember the exact circumstance. There was some issue with us getting in that day. There was something like they moved the media check-in place there was issues with getting the credentials delivered or whatever. So anyway, we were delayed getting in, even though we showed up an hour early. You know what I mean? We were delayed getting in. This and this was so long ago, you would have been working for the UFC at that point. It was UFC 143. You would have been working for the UFC at that point. But we were delayed getting in. So I was one of the only media members to make it to my seat because I was first in line. I made it in, and he had this insane first-round knockout. It was that Dan Stitkin where he had, like, the little high kick over the shoulder, beautiful knockout. That was 13 years. Yeah. That was – and it's funny because I was looking to see how long ago when you were talking about his longevity, and I'm like, damn, that was 13 years. But as I looked at the date, February 4th, 2012, That was 3 months before my son was born. Like, my son wasn't even alive. Now I got a teenager that's, yeah. Talking about, about to go to high school and, talking about cars. And I mean, this dude was knocking out fools yep. in the USC before this child was even alive. You know what yep. I mean? It's just, it's crazy, man. So
yeah, the Jake Ellenberger fight that I was talking about just 3 years after that, 2015, spinning hook kick.
Yeah.
And I remember he threw like three of them. He hurt him with it. Jake recovered, did a little stuff, and then he hit him again with another one that eventually I think was the final draw.
Bro, look at that run to the title he had, man. So he loses to Matt Brown. Obviously, that was – I mean, Matt Brown is another legend of the game.
Yeah.
Beats Nashawn Burrell, Chris Clements. Then it gets nasty. Robert Whittaker. That was kind of before Robert Whittaker was Whittaker.
That's not the Robert Whittaker.
But it's still
Robert Whittaker.
Still Robert Whittaker. Patrick Cote, Jake Ellenberger, Johnny Hendricks, Rory McDonald.
Yeah.
And then gets the majority draw against Tyron Woodley and then loses in the rematch. But, I mean, that was a hell of a run that he was on. So, fantastic stuff, man. But this is a tough matchup, man. So we'll be cheering for Wonder Boy as well. Obviously, as you said, you cover somebody for a decade plus, man. You're gonna be pulling for them. I think this card is entertaining, though, man. I'm telling you. I know it's not the biggest. Calvin Kattar and Steve Garcia. No way that's not going to be a banger.
And that's like the one of the ones that gave me the hardest to pick between the two, because I initially was like Kattar. But when I went back, I was like, dude, I think I'm going to roll Garcia.
Garcia's kind of the more informed guy right now.
Yeah. And it's weird. Like, because you see when you always think about like a size of guy, like you, and you see him up on the dais in the interview and they don't get the size sense of the, like how big. Garcia is actually a pretty decent sized guy for that 100%. Division, so like when they get in there opposite, he's going to be towering over Calvin a little bit,
which is wild because you think about Kattar being kind of long for the division. So you're absolutely right. And Steve Garcia, like,
he's
the
not
most
6 foot, is he? He is 6 foot,
the most unassuming dude as well, but just goes
six
in there
foot
and
featherweight
throws
ridiculous
down. That'll be a great fight.
That is a good fight.
Nate the Train here against Morgan Charrier. I mean, Morgan's the real deal, but Nate the Train is fun as hell.
Yep.
Vitor Petrino making the move up to heavyweight. Junior Tafa making the move down to light heavyweight. So
did
a couple
you see
athletes.
The pictures of like Junior Tafa?
Shredded.
Like, did he just cut down every good food that he used to love eating? He looked ripped. I was like, good for you, brother.
Shredded, man. That dude put in the work. Max Griffin versus Chris Curtis. Love that. Love that nothing really came out of the thing last week at Tough Enough.
They haven't had a commission meeting yet. That falls after it.
I'm just happy that they let him fight. That they didn't try to step in.
Yeah, they
didn't
do like an emergency meeting or whatever.
And actually, I went back and watched that tape, and I'll be honest.
Retroactively, I think something will happen.
If you go back and watch it, and I didn't even realize this. I mean, obviously, live, we were having a couple frosty beverages, and we were very exhausted after a long week. I went back and watched the tape, and it was actually Eric McMahon who asked me to go look at it, and I did. Chris actually, like, as he charges, he steps in the way of Sean Strickland.
That's why Sean didn't get a good shot.
I thought
he
it was just –
he pulled him into a clinch.
But, yeah, you're right. And I thought it was just accidental that he – because I saw from the very beginning that Sean's blows didn't land clean because they caught the right shoulder of Chris Curtis. I thought that was just an accident based on – where they were standing at the time. But no, Chris actually like actively moves to his right to block Sean Strickland from landing. So I don't know.
I don't know if he tried to block him.
If you go back and watch
it. When I looked at it, he was pulling him into a clinch. Like he was pulling his head down like he was trying to big brother him.
Saw that.
So, but I don't.
Go back and watch it one more time. He moves to his right. He shifts to his right.
Doesn't that just happen when you're actually pulling a guy to try to pull you closer?
Think he takes a sidestep to his right to try to stop Sean from landing.
But he has the fight to worry about. Why would he care about Sean?
I think he has to always care about Sean. Yeah, I think if you're hanging around with Sean, you realize your job is to keep Sean from being too Sean.
I mean, you wonder if that's like one of those things like where you're like a replay revisionist. Like you can go back and you can assign something to it.
Right. That's true.
You know, because when I really watch it, the first thing I saw was him really yelling into the guys like he was talking shit to him and pulling the guy close. Like I thought he was then going to try to initiate and actually pull him into like a full-on clinch and just like something. But then you had Sean coming in, which kind of disrupted it or whatever. But I don't know. I'll go back and watch it.
Go back and watch it. I went back and watched it. You still got to get punished.
You got to get punished because he initiated contact with the guy.
You can't charge into the cage.
Because if he really wanted to just stop Sean, he could have just ran in and turned grabbed to Sean him. And blocked Sean.
Yeah, look.
But he went in and grabbed the fighter.
I'm not trying to say, like, hey, let's give him his sainthood right now. Like, this man is the peacekeeper of all peacekeepers. But I do think that if you go back and watch it, it looks like he tries to keep it from being worse than it is.
Yeah.
But he still did wrong. You cannot enter the cage like that. You simply can't.
Remember that one – I still can't remember. It was one of media days. He came in wearing, like, one of those vests that looked like the Warriors. Like, the Warriors. It wasn't like a Warriors, but I remember him even saying – and it was, like, the coolest, like, leather vest thing.
Oh,
he had no,
yeah,
no shirt on, so he was ripped, and he just had this, like, Warriors vest
that.
On. And I was remember thinking, like – that is a cool look, and I don't think he's ever done it since because maybe people teased him or they were saying, like, Warriors. Because I think we even said it, and I think he said it, but I was like, dude, that was so bad. It was such a badass look.
I love it. All right, wrestle card, Jake Matthews. Look, I'm going to be honest.
Fight.
There's not a fight on here that I don't care about, man.
Yeah.
Like, Jake Matthews, Lauren Murphy is back. Like, her retirement fight. I mean, obviously a big underdog against Eduardo Mora. Kenny and Jekwu versus Walter Walker is there. I mean, you always know there's going to be some craziness with Walter Walker around. And obviously, Kennedy, like, man, he's tough to gauge. Sometimes he has great nights. Sometimes he doesn't. Mitch Ramirez versus Mike Davis. I'm a big Mike Davis fan. I think that guy's fun. And then, as I said, Fatima McClain kicking things off. So, dude, I think this is a really, really good card.
And I hate when people are like, oh, man, it's much better than a UFC Apex card. I'm like, fuck you with that. Like, can't you just gauge a card on whether it's good or not and stop saying whether it's like a
– you leave
like
our Apex alone.
Card's a bad
we
thing.
Like our Apex down the
this
road.
This is a good card. I mean, this is a – if this was in the Apex, people would probably find a reason to poop on it and say, like, oh, this is an Apex card. This is a good card that's going to be in a nice, big-sized arena in a big old city. You know, like, it's a good card, man. Like – I can't find a fight on here that I'm not like excited to
you
watch.
You know what's funny?
You know?
Is you're absolutely right. Is that if this was at the Apex,
people
you'd be like,
poop on it.
Here we
Derek
go.
Lewis
we got heavyweights. They're just running Derek Lewis out there against. This doesn't even matter. I got Wonder Boy. How old is he? When's he gonna retire? I got Calvin Cater. When was the last time he won a fight? And that's all I got. That's
What else is there on there?
No more ranked Nothing. Fighters the whole way in here. You're so
None
right.
None of these fights mean anything.
These don't mean anything.
Like,
you're
so
true. You're
it's so a cool card, man.
I love
it's
it.
Gonna be,
I'm looking forward
it's
to
gonna
it.
Be fun to watch.
If I was gonna hate on it, I would just say, "Can we start it at like 11 a.m. or something?"
That would be fun. I mean, because you said it. What time, sir? 3?
3 p.m. our time. So it's not that bad.
That's not that bad, but still, yeah. I mean, like. We Saturday morning cards,
I love
especially
Saturday
when you
cards.
Can like watch them on the couch.
That's my
I love it because then you can still do other stuff.
I think they should move every event that's not at the Apex should be like in the Middle East so that it's an early morning for us. So it's like 8 a.m.
Like, you want to go on the road? We're taking you on the road
all the way to the other side
of the way. To where they drive on the other side of the road
because we want the fights at like 9 a.m. here. Either I want them 5 minutes from my house or I want them on at 9 a.m.
Yep.
All right, listen, I know we got a busy weekend ahead of NBA action. I don't want to keep you too long from going over there and putting hands on Stephen A. Smith and letting him know what it's all about. So I can't get in the way of the NBA schedule. We could talk fights all day. But we will get together this Monday for the and a half and break down everything that happened here, recap what should be a very fun event, and then gets very busy for me. We'll have to figure that out because I leave for Tampa on Wednesday morning. We'll figure something out for sure. We haven't missed a week in 10-plus years, even if my schedule is getting a little more crazy.
We'll figure it out.
We got a big CFFC schedule ahead. We got CFFC 144 in Tampa next week, Friday, July 18th. So if you're in the Tampa area, you want to come out and see some fights, do that. And then we've got the newly rebranded CFFC BJJ. No more Fury Professional Grappling. It was because we have.
You guys serve coffee with cinnamon there?
We do not, sir. Absolutely not. Not allowed. And we also have our first full Next Gen card in Atlantic City, July 25th, July 26th. So if you're in the Atlantic City area, come out and see us there. But anyway, we'll get to all that. In the meantime, go watch some NBA Summer League. Watch Cole Coffey. He's
way off in the stands, somewhere way up top.
He may not. We'll see if he's nominated as Fighters Only MMA Journalist of the Year, but he's NBA Magazine Rookie of the Year.
Is there an NBA Magazine?
No.
I'm so out of the loop.
There's see you. I mean, you know, you're going to start NBA Magazine because the NBA expert that you are, they want more cold coffee. In the meantime, everybody enjoy your weekend. Thanks for listening.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.